Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. This is episode number 328. We are jumping in between a couple episodes that I already pre-recorded, but you know what? When I get an email from Jen Sinkler saying, hey, Kev, you know, I think we should record something, got some good information for people out there, I say, you know what? Everyone else, just get off. We got to get Jen on the show. So
I am sorry, Kevin Carr. It sounds like I owe him an apology.
No, I mean, you'll probably see him at one of the summits this year. I'm sure you can buy him like a Miller Lite or whatever.
Oh, or that just sounds delicious.
Yeah, go to the social where they're giving out free beers and just say, hey, I got you this beer to make up for it. And now we're even.
Okay, that's thanks. I'm going to take that and run with it.
He's in Ireland right now. He's just flying back from Ireland from one of our certifications. So he's in a pretty good state of mind right now anyways.
I would say I love Ireland. It's beautiful.
Oh, it's really great even, I guess, in February when it's pretty much just cold there. Actually, it's a little bit warmer there than it is for us in Boston and I guess you in Minnesota.
It's freezing. I agree. It is terrifying to drive over there, I will say, though. I took my 94-year-old grandfather and my mother over probably, what was it, 4 years ago now, and I was the best bet for being the driver. But I'd never driven on the left side of the road before, so that was...
You rented a car.
Yeah. I mean, we drove all around the coast.
Nice.
Tiny little roads. And luckily, I learned in a place that had, like, bushes on one side of the car, so I got to learn without falling off a cliff, but I did scrape up the car kind of good.
Yeah, I'm all about just getting a taxi, and luckily most of my travel is work-related, so you just pull out that Amex card that has a company name on it and just have that thing get swiped.
You know, that was a way better idea. It's what I used to do when I didn't work for myself. And now that Amex card is like, oh, I have one of my team members is like, is this a business center? And I was like, ew, crap. Yeah. Put it on the card.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not very good with like taxes and writing stuff off, but I'm guessing you can get away with some stuff these days. But we're here to talk. I mean, we're going to be talking about Lift Weights Faster 2, the sequel. And now a lot of people out there, not huge fans of sequels for movies, but I'm like Back to the Future 2, great movie. Empire Strikes Back, pretty good movie. Uh-huh. Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, one of the best movies of all time, and that's a sequel. So, you know, I think especially when it comes to like fitness information and things like that, it sounds like you're able to take a lot of like feedback that you got from the first one. You get to build on top of the awesome information from the first manual, put it together into something even better to make sure people can like, you know, really get their money's worth out of the product. And like, I checked out the last one. It was awesome. So I'm guessing you guys have pretty big stuff planned for this one.
We do. The first one was 130 workouts and, which seems like, I mean, it's a lot, right? And people would say, I loved the feedback because it was like, we feel like we stole from you. There's so much here. Mm. And so this time we put 180 workouts in just to like really make people feel like they were going to rob us.
You have to bump it up. It's like Die Hard to Die Hard 2. You get to kill at least 50% more people in the sequel. So I like what you did there.
I think sequels sometimes get a bad rap because
totally
anymore, like you do have to amp up your game. I like all the diehards, to be honest.
Oh yeah, I mean, well, maybe not the newest one.
Okay, not that one.
But I was even a fan of Live Free and Die Hard. With
me too.
The guy from the Apple commercials.
It's a Christmas tradition to watch those around that time of year now.
Absolutely. Yeah,
they're very festive, I think.
Man, I got so many sequels on my shelf. Tron Legacy, also underrated movie. You know, people out there should go check that out. But like I said, we're here to talk about fitness and nutrition and warm-ups and stuff like that. And we got really a lot of great questions from people on Facebook and Twitter. And you did a great job kind of putting those together. And we're going to basically have a conversation and get some great stuff out of you for the people that are listening at home, in the car, or potentially on their favorite piece of cardiovascular equipment. So I thought...
meaning like free weights, right?
Free weights. I know this is, I was hoping you were going to jump in there because, I mean, let's start with that.
Okay.
Where are you at? Like, I mean, obviously, you know, there are people out there that are still waking up. And I mean, The Rock's doing it every day. The Rock gets up at 4 a.m. and he gets on his elliptical bike for an hour. Potentially not the best use of his time, but
But if he likes it, that's great. This is like Lift Weights Faster I put together because for people who don't want to be on the elliptical, who don't want to do a lot of steady state. Myself, personally, I have deep compartment syndrome in my calves.
Yeah.
It's really painful and it makes my feet floppy and like it takes distance running off the table for me. So I didn't realize until I was probably 30 years old that I had that. And I'd played rugby for, you know, a decade at that point and always with the fitness tests, the beep tests, I would be feet. Oh, that's the, I never want to hear that.
We did that in our staff meeting.
No, what?
We had like, we did, maybe it was like 6 months ago. Like, it's like, you know, I want everyone out there to know what the beep test is because, like, a lot of our athletes have to do it when they go to college and, like, when they're coming in. Like, we need to have an understanding of how intense this thing is for how we program our conditioning. So we did a beep test, and I was – luckily, I was not one of the people that got knocked out during the beep test. I survived every single one of the rounds, so
– wait, no, you're not every single – you're not talking about – you like, because there are – you know, there are rumored to be 17 rounds. You didn't make it through 17 rounds. No, what did you get?
I made it to the point where Mike Boyle was like, all right, you guys, that was good enough.
Tell me your number. Go on.
It was like 6 months ago, but I'm just saying out of the NBSC staff where we have like 24 people, I was not one of the – you know, five or six that got knocked out during the beep test. I was able to hold my ground thanks to...
Okay. Did you make it to double digits? Can you...
Oh, I have no idea.
I can't believe you don't know. I feel like that should be burned in your mind. If you have to do it repeatedly, you know.
Oh, you know what the funniest shit is? Sorry, I never swear on the show, but I was actually wearing your t-shirt while we were doing that. I swear to God, it was... I remember it was like 4 days after I got that t-shirt in the mail. I swear to God. That was, I mean, I don't know how I'm just remembering this right now, but it just happened to be that we did that beep test right after you sent me that t-shirt and I was wearing it.
Okay, first of all, I think it's hilarious when people wear the what do you do for cardio, I lift weights faster shirts while they're doing traditional cardio. Negar Fanuni thinks it's hilarious to send me pictures of herself wearing it, just running, you know, or something like that. Like, and or doing yoga or something. So I appreciate that, number one. Number two, I forget what number two was. What
it's
was number
still, yeah, it's still, you know, free promotion. You're still getting the word out there.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the sense of humor involved. Totally. Oh, number one, I don't really think. Okay, no, I already said number one. So this is still number two. I don't think you really did the beep test if you didn't do it long enough that you don't find out when you would have quit.
We didn't complete the beep test.
I know. Well, there is. I mean, good luck completing the bleep test. Beep or bleep. There's a fight about how to say it. But I guess I'm team bleep.
I swear we did it. I don't know if it was filmed or not. I can probably pull up the staff meeting, but it's. We have other better things to talk about.
Well, I hate to tell you, but you work in a hostile work environment if you're made to do that.
That's you know what? At MBSC, we don't get that number one gym in America for men's health for nothing. We just do hard cardio sessions. No, not kidding. I'm just kidding.
Okay, so I think I segued onto this because I didn't know that I had deep compartment syndrome. I just couldn't figure out why, no matter how fit I thought I was, I did not do well on these endurance tests. And my very best friends were getting level, you know, 14 level, like up in the like 13, 14, I think we maybe saw 15 once. And I would always, you know, I was lucky if I would make it to 10, very lucky. And my feet would be flopping all over the place, you know, severe burning pain in my calves. I thought that was normal. And I thought everyone else was just, you know, mustering through it somehow. And then I got a 12 one time because the battery was dying in the boom box. So that was pretty cool. And so the beeps were pretty slow. But then eventually I figured out that it was that the fascia in my calves was too small for the muscle within. And so every time I would do endurance activities, the muscle would swell and then bleed. And it's very painful. So I was like, okay, so what else can I do if I'm not going to be a marathoner, which it was never really a goal of mine. But, you know, I entered a 5 mile run once and it was the longest thing I've ever done in my life. So I started circuit training a whole lot. And as I got into the fitness industry, people would ask, you know, what I do for exercise. And I would say, I lift weights. And they would say, what do you do for cardio though?
Yeah.
And I would say, I lift weights faster. So that's how the whole thing started. And as I dug into the research behind it, like there was, you know, there's some, it's still a little sparse because the old studies used to very definitively say like, there wasn't a lot of circuit training studied. Mm-hmm. It was very much like, you know, the sets and reps. And then there were the cardio studies that were very separate. But there's some stuff that's been coming out in the last few years that the researchers, as much as say, like when you look at the results of these, I think that there's a lot more crossover than people realize. And so that's kind of what's coming up lately. You can really improve your aerobic capacity and even your VO2 max if you're huge on defining cardio as VO2 max, especially in the untrained populations. You've got to lift, you know, it's got to be light weights and you've got to lift them very quickly and like toward max effort, but then it technically qualifies. You can call it whatever you want, like cardio, or you don't have to get, you know, bogged down in that sort of definition, but you meet a lot of people's goals. Like you burn fat, you maintain your muscle mass or even gain muscle mass, and you like you feel better. Like your capacity for life is greater. So that's it. Like I think we've sort of moved beyond the cardio claim, and we're just talking about like a whole slew of circuit workouts for people who are like, I don't really know what to do. Like what should I do for a finisher, or what should I do for a circuit workout today? So that's the problem that I'm trying to solve.
Yeah, and that's like one of those things where people get to the end of like their quote unquote lift, and then they're thinking, what am I going to do for conditioning? They kind of look around sometimes like, yeah, I don't know. There's not really anything that's exciting to do. Maybe I'll just call it.
Right. Exactly. Because
they're getting bored.
And that's my favorite part of the workout. And I think it's a lot of people's favorite part of the workout. They like to leave feeling like there's that little extra.
Do you like to time a lot of this stuff? Do you like to just set it for, you know, all right, I got 10 minutes. I'm going to do 15 minutes. I have these three or four exercises. I'm going to try to get through as many rounds as I can. Or do you have a preset like number of sets and reps that you're going to try to get through? And I'm just going to try to do it as fast as I can.
All of the above. I like to play with the structure and the time quite a bit, like from ladders to AMRAPs to straight up circuits to chains to a whole, like whatever the order of the day is, a chipper, say something like that, just to keep it fresh, because man, it can be, you need something to distract you from how hard you're working, because you do have to work very hard in order for it to count.
Well, let's get into some of the questions that we got.
Okay.
And, you know, I'll feel bad if I just kind of monopolize the time with questions that I have. But we did get some questions just in terms of like motivation for people that are living those busy lives and they're just having trouble even getting, you know, 2 1-hour sessions per week in. What do you tell people when they come up to you and say, yeah, like what do you do, Jen, for motivation? Because you're super busy too. Like you're traveling all over the place, you're speaking and you're doing all this writing. Like, what do you do and what do you tell them?
Man, I totally get it. It can be super hard to stick to a workout program, especially when things get really busy. I mean, when you've got a little more time and you've got like, oh, I could spend a couple hours in the gym today. I think that's really, that's real luxury. And it's a luxury that a lot of us don't have. I use tricks like laying my workout clothes out the night before, or they're packed in the bag. Like I never leave it to chance. Like I never am like, you know, I'll grab the clothes in the morning. Like I clear the path as much as I can. Like there's the trick that you do where you're like, okay, I'll just get started. I'll do, you agree, you make a deal with yourself. Like even if you don't feel like it, like, okay, I'll do 5 minutes. And then inevitably, once you get going, like you stay going. Or if you legit don't have, like you don't have that much time, then you can break up your workout into different parts. Or you can just do like a little something. Like at that point, it's like just do something, because in 9 times out of 10, something is better than nothing. So it's like do a short, intense circuit workout, for example. Or do a couple, either back to back or at different points in the day. So it's making that deal with yourself that like you'll just start and see what happens. And if you start, you get through the warm up and then you're like, well, that's all I have for today. Then it's also being kind enough to yourself to then call it.
Hmm. Well, again, kind of along those same lines, so when it could just come to like tracking how you're doing, because that's another thing that can stop people from going to the gym or, you know, training, is that they just feel like they're not getting anywhere. So how do you like to track your progress and your workouts?
That's a great question. And the answer is I use a website that my husband built. It's called adaptifier.com. I track all my workouts in just a straight up notebook. And I track, I time every set or superset from the start. I time how many reps I do in a set, how many sets I do. And we're kind of weird at Movement Minneapolis. We use this intuitive training protocol that we don't prescribe sets and reps. So I couldn't go into a gym and be like, all right, I'm going to do 5x5 today, because I may have that in my mind, but it depends on what, like, the feedback I'm getting from my body too. So I will, it's not a foregone conclusion that I'll be doing, say, 5x5 or whatever it is. I'll track then Adaptify. In Adaptify, I'll input what I ended up doing that day, and it automatically calculates intensity, which is how much weight's on the bar or how much weight you're lifting. It tracks volume, which is like how many, you know, how much total work, how many reps you do. And it also tracks a third thing called density, which is how quickly that you do everything. Mm-hmm. And so I found it is really motivating to see that you're making progress on one of those fronts. I mean, as your training age gets older, like, you're not going to always be able to just put more weight on the bar to lift more weight. It, you know, progress is not linear. We know that. But you can improve on one of these measures every single workout. And so if you track it through adaptifier.com, then it will tell you what you improved in that day.
Very cool. So it's like a, you know, it's definitely a next step up from just like throwing stuff down in your notebook. How do you really gauge like where you're going without having to go back through like 10 pages of stuff?
Right. Exactly. And it's a new way to PR. It's like, okay, well, I might've done the same number of sets and the same number of reps, but I did it a minute faster than before. And so you're like, okay, PR today.
Yeah. So like, those kind of like statistics and like being able to track things like that is definitely going to be the way to, you know, make sure that you are making progress, because it's hard to see the small changes in
like
numbers that you're just like writing down in a notebook. That's why I think all the beauty of the internet and computers these days, there's like stuff out there that can make this stuff a lot more easy to like implement that into a program like that. That's cool.
It can, and it can help you know what to celebrate, sure, and like, okay, yay, PR'd, or else it calls you out for like, you know, you didn't improve.
Yeah.
And so you know what you need to work on.
You know, another thing that you've talked about in the past, you've written about, is, you know, talking about, or the idea of focusing on doing, not just like going for a certain look and things like that, not necessarily, I guess, worrying about what is reflecting in the mirror. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit, you know, about that for people out there.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. It's like my favorite topic to talk about. I think that we women have been sold kind of a bum deal, like that our value lies in how we look and how.
Sorry, not to jump in, but did you see that Marie Claire magazine that they're doing a whole magazine that is completely unphotoshopped?
I love it. Did you see the Cindy Crawford photo?
I did. I just heard on another podcast that they're like, it's not just that photo, but every single thing from the ads to every picture in the magazine, nothing will be photoshopped.
I think that is super. I love it. It's super unapologetic, and like my unapologetically strong is sort of one of the mantras that I live by, and that. I think that issue of Marie Claire and what Cindy Crawford is doing is very unapologetic, and I appreciate that so very much. We need more of that, of just being like, here's what this really looks like, not, you know, here's what it's supposed to look like. That word supposed, like that phrase supposed to, like, just drives me nuts. And you know, like, because then it's everyone's trying to be perfect all the time, and it's like, what can you do though? Like, what, instead of always focusing on, you know, what you look like and the ways that you can become smaller, like losing dress sizes and, you know, shrinking your waist and all of these other, the fitness goals that we see that we make assumptions about being women's fitness goals. Like, what happens when that becomes less interesting? Because it does become less interesting to like, okay, I'm going to go to the gym today because I want to be smaller. And it's just like, it's this constant beating yourself up that it's just not motivating over the long term. Whereas if you start focusing on goals that you that are more doing based, like I wonder if I can deadlift double body weight. Mm-hmm. I wonder if I can, you know, squat 1.5 times body weight, or, you know, whatever it is that your goal is. Like, if you start moving toward the doing, like, the looking sort of takes care of itself.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, that's just, it seems like so simple, but it just seems like, obviously in the mainstream media, that's not something that's popular for magazine covers.
No, it's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. And the assumptions are everywhere. And I every time I've joined a new gym, like, it's almost like this assumption, like, oh, you obviously want to lose body fat. I mean, like, not that they're like, oh, look at you, you toad. But it's like, that's the assumption that everyone wants to do that. And it's just been recently that more women are coming into Movement Minneapolis and they're saying, I want to get stronger. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. It's awesome. But that's new territory, I think.
Do you think, like, I mean, a lot of the CrossFit games, like, that are on ESPN and stuff like that, I mean, that has to have some sort of...
Oh, absolutely. I think it has a hugely positive impact when you look at it as a whole.
Mm. Even on, like, female MMA athletes and stuff, mm-hmm. like that, like MMA fighters, they've just seem to be doing a much better job of being just, like, great role models for women out there about, you know, just body types and stuff like that.
Yeah, I could not agree more.
Man, this is such, I mean, I feel like that's like a subject we could talk about for an hour. I've been doing a lot of reading. Obviously, this is far heavier, sided towards females, but also like males that are having like body dysmorphic issues and mm-hmm. things like that with, whether it's like muscle magazines or even just television shows today of how men are supposed to look and how they're supposed to act and stuff like that is really interesting stuff to read up on.
Yeah, it absolutely has become more common in men too, and like you've got the G.I. Joe complex now.
Yeah, totally.
Or the superhero complex, like you're supposed to look like this.
Yeah, you know, Spider-Man looked all right. He wasn't that big. He's saved the world a couple times. Also, the Power Rangers. Think about them. They weren't jacked either.
Yeah, they really weren't. Even their figurines were pretty small.
Yeah, maybe Zach or Jason, the Black or the Red Rangers, were Billy was a little bit smaller. But anyways, that's a different discussion for another different podcast. It's not this. So this is what happens when I've been like working all morning and then I skipped my nap today, Jen. It kills everything. It just kills everything. But let's talk about...
I'll try to keep you awake.
You are like this is otherwise I'd be this is my nap time right now, but I'm making sure that we're bringing the awesome fitness information to people out there. I'm trying to bring in my inner Stone Cold Steve Austin with his podcast, but we had also a lot of questions for people who just wanted to know about, you know, diet for performance, like making sure that you're getting in, you know, the good nutrition that you're going to need to not only just like recover, but also to make sure that you're not going too far in one direction or the other.
Yeah. You know, I outsource my nutrition to Renaissance Performance. I just started working with them a few weeks ago. And I have a way of timing these things fairly poorly because with the advent of Lift Weights Faster 2, I mean, I was like, this will keep me on track. It's basically keeping me from not being a disaster, but yeah. The information, I'm working with Nick Shaw, and the information is fantastic. And what I think is really interesting is he has me doing intra workout carbs, like, mm-hmm. and which is something I've not really ever paid that much attention to. Like, sure, you hear about like pre and post workout, but I'm being assigned carbs like during my lifts now, and it actually, like, I've noticed that I have more energy during my lifts. So mm-hmm. it's not really a huge mystery why, but. But I thought I think it's interesting, especially if you're doing a fairly involved lift.
So, like, what do those carb sources look like, or what do those, I guess, like mini snacks look like?
He specifies like healthy carbs, like healthy fast carbs. So, like any sort of rice, and he likes grains and mm-hmm. and fruit and that sort of thing.
So, is it like a situation where just like having like a banana or something like halfway between the lift or in the middle of the lift?
In the workout I'm using, I'm using like a fast carb source like Vitargo.
Cool.
Very just cool. Because that's like, you know, there's no gastrointestinal upset and things of that nature. And during, when I'm training for powerlifting, like my workouts, so I got into powerlifting last summer mm-hmm. and my lifts did, and I'm sort of like just now being like, I would need a little bit more variety, and I'm sort of moving in a different direction again. Since I've been working on Lift Weights Faster, I've been doing more circuit training mm-hmm. again. But before that, I was like really into the heavy and these long lifts, and I actually did need more food and substance during the lifts, which I just didn't realize until I'd started working with Nick.
So, I mean, that's like the hardest thing is to kind of gauge like when are you going to really need more without, you know, really taking a second and reflecting, all right, I lifted today, I ate today, how do I feel? How did I sleep the next day, next morning? How do I feel? Do I feel like smoked? Do I feel like I can actually get into that next workout? Do you do any like kind of tracking like that to kind of see where you're at?
I've been using the Fitocracy Macros app. Mm-hmm. It's just like a really simple, clean design. You like plug in your numbers and you basically figure out if you hit your macros for the day. Because I think every, like about once a year, I tend to, especially in the winter, because I love hibernation. Like I don't like the cold. So I find that I
should move out of Minnesota.
Listen, I'm working on it.
Everyone else is on like the West Coast now.
Yeah, they're moving there en masse. I love the East Coast, I have to say. I love it. I love Philadelphia.
Yeah, Philly's not bad, but again, it's like...
Wait, it's not bad. It's like the best city in America.
Okay, I've seen the commercials on TV asking me to go to Philadelphia. I should travel there for vacation. Oh, give me your bullet points for why I should go. I've never been there.
Wait, okay. So here's how I judge cities. Number one, walkability. In Philly is highly walkable. Like I can get around on foot there, no problem. Like that's not the case in the Midwest, and it's not the case on the West Coast. Like East Coast has that down.
Sure.
Neighborhood feels like how different do your neighborhoods feel? And like do they feel neighborhoody and like I know what this neighborhood's about. Like, can you like walk through a neighborhood and be like, all right, I get the vibe here. Mm-hmm. And Philly again, strong on that. Boston's really good on that too. Like you know where you are in Boston.
Yeah, Boston is a weird city.
I know. I like Boston. Not as much as Philly, but I like Boston. And then third, interactions mm-hmm. with strangers. Like there's a lot in the Midwest, and I think to an extent on the West Coast is a little more open, but Midwest, like people are friendly, but they're not necessarily open. Like they're not super open. They're mm-hmm. not like super warm and open. They're very polite, very, very polite. But in Philly, I just tend to have these like really hilarious nonstop interactions with people.
So they got a really bad rap when they started throwing batteries at Santa Claus at the Eagles game.
It has its tough spots. I will see that.
Mm-hmm. I know. I like New York City. I've been to New York a couple times, but I like the feel of New York. I just I live in the burbs now. I live like by mm-hmm. the beach, so it's kind of tough to step out of my comfort zone and go to a city these days, but. I'll try to get to Philly at some point.
I was born in small town Iowa, but I'm secretly city through and through. It's weird.
What would you want to do? Like a studio apartment? You want to be in the city, or do you want to get like a?
I want to be in the city.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, like I want to be like in the city.
You want to be able to walk downstairs or like have like a restaurant under your apartment kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what I like.
All right. Actually, that sounds pretty good. It's just always tough to find a place that can take dogs. You know.
It is, yeah.
Man. All right, so now that I got us off topic, let's bring it back around.
I know, but I'm enjoying this. Okay, yeah.
I know. I just, like I said, it's been one of those weird days. But I want to talk to you, like, let's take a really big step back in terms of training and talk about warm-ups. Because, you know, there's going to be those days, especially when, like, you're not going to be doing, like, I don't even know what I'd call it, like a regular training day. Like, you're not doing your full lift that day, or it's not, like, a full training day. But you might want to do something from, like, lift weights faster. You might want to get in, like, a quick workout. So what do the warm-ups look like, or what do your warm-ups look like when it comes to just, like, making sure I am ready and I am primed to go for this training session?
Now, I think the biggest catch-all with warm-ups is, and everybody, of course, has their own body history, their own movement history, their own injury history. They're coming in with their own shit to every workout. But you're gonna catch the most, should I say fish? I'm like making up metaphors. I don't know. I want you to open up your T-spine in any case, and I want you to fire up your glutes, and I want you to awaken your low back stabilizers. Like most people need those three things. Like, so I'm doing like spinal rolls and glute bridge with reach, and then, you know, hip thrusts and maybe single leg, you know, like the single leg Romanian deadlifts, like anything that you can do to fire up your glutes. And then I love carries. And I got that from Tony Gentilcore, like, do farmer's carries as part of your warm up.
Yeah, Tony's going to be getting on a flight real soon to go to Australia. That guy's nuts.
I saw that he's already dreading it. He really doesn't like to fly.
This is crazy. It's just like spend an hour talking about other stuff, but because this is what's so crazy about our industry, especially like when you get together at these Perform Better summits, you just like, yep. It's like seeing all your old friends
it
and
is.
Stuff. Are you planning on going to any of those this year? Are you going to hit up like Chicago or Long Beach?
I'm usually a Long Beach person.
Yeah. That's a really nice area. The one that did do at Long Beach is really nice.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been to Chicago before. I really like that one. I've still never been to the one in Providence.
Hey, you know what? Come down. We get
what weekend is that?
It is. I think it's the first weekend, the first Sunday in July. It's actually going to be after Chicago. They're doing Chicago, Providence, then Long Beach this year. But you get to go out with NBSC staff, and like last year was really. Really good. And anyone else that's listening, if you're coming down to Providence, say what's up. And go out and have some Guinness. There's a place that serves Guinness. It's not as good as Ireland, but it's pretty good.
I know. It's like, I don't know. Is that it? Yeah. Sounds good.
It's all right. All right. Yeah. Talk a little bit more before we keep talking about Perform Better. Talk a little bit more about, you know, just getting into powerlifting. Because this is super fascinating because we have some guys at our gym too that, you know, just are really getting into it. And like what kind of sparked that interest? Was it just kind of like to change things up a little bit? And what does your training generally look like? Again, before you got back into putting together lift weights faster too.
Yes. So this came about in a very odd kind of way. I have an old rugby teammate on the US team. Mm-hmm. Pam Kosenki, she's like best friend in the world. She moved to Minneapolis, I think 2 years ago now, and immediately started in with like, what are we going to do now that we're done with playing rugby? Let's enter triathlons and let's enter half marathons. And she was doing these things on her own, and her body was just breaking down, like hip problems, shoulder problems. Like it just wasn't like these weren't things that were settling well with her. Mm-hmm. And I realized it had never occurred to her, and she hadn't really lifted weights before, but I was like, come train with me for a while and then we'll enter some sort of strength competition. And what we ended up entering was a strongman competition last summer, and it was super fun and she did really well. And she's like, okay, like I like lifting weights now, like this is a thing that we could do. So we started looking at other options, and I'd entered a push-pull meet before. Mm-hmm. which is just, you know, deadlift and bench. And I was like, well, maybe we could try our hand at powerlifting. And so I was like, okay, who else wants to do this? And so I asked some of the other trainers at the gym and some of my clients. And we ended up getting a small group together and entered a meet last August. And I never expected to love it, but I love it. It's way more tactical than I ever anticipated, which sounds ridiculous. I know it's a sport, but I never really thought about it because I didn't know about as anything other than like you either can lift a weight or you can't lift a weight. And I didn't realize it had anything to do with anyone else. Like I didn't really think about like, okay, you're going to take different attempts based on what, you know, somebody else might be lifting. And, you know, maybe that's not motivating for anybody else, but I really like that part of the game. Like, all right, like let's play to win. And so I ended up entering one every 2 months until, and then with the fourth being this very past weekend. Mm-hmm. And I've really enjoyed it. And every time we do a meet, like I'll put the word out at the gym, and we finally made it official this last training cycle. Like, okay, any Movement Minneapolis members who want to enter, go ahead and like, we're going to put you through this powerlifting program. Mm-hmm. And we had 17 members.
Holy crap.
Show up, and 14 of them were women.
Oh,
and
that's awesome.
It was it's so awesome because it's like what we were talking about earlier. It's do not look like, mm-hmm. I mean, it's very much like, can I do this? And training toward it. Like, I think we had 11 out of 17 PR their squat, 11 out of 17 PR their deadlift.
Wow.
And then I think we had not quite as many PR their bench. We need to get our benches up collectively. But it was just like, it's such a great experience. So we're going to launch into another powerlifting cycle. And we're now, I guess, officially the only registered club in the state, Movement Barbell. And it's just really taken off. Like it's a very sticky idea in the gym, and it gives people a way to move forward toward a due goal. And it's been a lot of fun.
So what, how are you kind of easing people into the programming and stuff like that? Is it just like a, you know, setup where we're going to do deadlift Monday, we're going to do squat Wednesday, and we're going to bench Friday?
That kind of thing. Yes. We mm-hmm. still have a lot of variety of movement.
Yeah, of course.
Because we don't like, honestly, I'll say that after 6 straight months of competing now every 2 months, like I could use some variety. I'm craving a little bit more variety, even with the variety that I have, you know, plugged into my program. So I think it's the people who compete a couple times a year are probably onto something, but it's a really motivating goal for that. But yeah, like include enough variety, but yeah, basically you're going to do one, you know, like your focus is going to be one of the big lifts once per week. And then you're going to have your, supplemental movements.
That's super cool. That's awesome. So like what is the sign up process? It's just like anyone can do it. It's like free. You just got to kind of pay to register for the meet itself, right?
Yeah. That's the way we run it at our gym. It's become so huge that we're going to start a class called Power Hour.
Oh, that's cool.
And have it be the powerlifting class because we were, you know, we have our general programming and we're sort of running the, you know, like the powerlifting group concurrently, but it's become too popular, which is a great problem to have. The meet director last weekend said it was the biggest biggest powerlifting meet that he's ever seen in the state of Minnesota and absolutely record-breaking numbers of women. I think we had something like 110 lifters total at this meet. It was kind of a mess. Like
That's huge.
It's huge. And they had this giant room at a hotel. Like I haven't lifted in a hotel for a while, but in a hotel, like event room. And it was like you were swimming through people all day because the spectators were there in droves too, which was also awesome. And like the crowd for the women was bigger than it was for the men.
That's super cool to hear. So is that, I mean, in terms of the demographics, you said it's mostly female. What are the age ranges for the group?
We have got masters and we all the way down to juniors. Like we've got a woman who I think she just turned legal. So she's 21. And then I think we're going to manage to convince one of our 66-year-old members to enter next time.
Wow.
But we had somebody in their mid-40s this time.
Very, very cool. You know, speaking of powerlifting, let's talk about some post-lifting recovery stuff. So, you know, again, for people who like to go in and get after it, one of the big things that they can run into is not feeling so great the next day. So what do you do or what do you recommend, I guess, for post-lifting recovery? And, you know, let's talk about some supplements and also stuff that they can do activity-wise.
I'm going to tell you what I never do, and that's ice baths. You know, that is some bullshit. Like so when I played rugby for the US team, they dunked us in ice baths.
Of course
after
they did.
Every game. It was like, man, it was non-negotiable. Like ice baths. I spent so much time in ice baths. And every time I'd be like, I don't think I feel any better the next day. And now, like, that's what the research is saying. It's very, very ambivalent when it comes to ice baths. Contrast baths, fine. But like, is that what you're seeing too? Like the ice baths are not like it's not convincing research.
It's something that when I talk to strength coaches, it's something that's still being done a lot in the professional setting.
Yeah,
because the thing is, a lot of these facilities they have them.
I know.
So they use them.
Well, the nice facilities that are like, okay, it's 50 degrees. That's different from in a trash bucket with a bunch of ice.
Yeah.
Which is what I did for so many years. So I'm not ice bathing. And I swore when I retired from rugby, I'm like, I'm never doing that again. And now I feel really vindicated about that because that's what the research is saying now.
Okay. So if you're not doing that, what are you doing?
Well, I do like massage and some healing touch. And that's, I know that's also very anecdotal, but I think that there's something to, you know, being touched. Foam rolling. I like the TP stuff. Like the TP quad baller is really nice. Stretching, like I'm not a good stretcher. I'm made of lead, not rubber. So I need the stretching much more than I actually will do it. But for recovery, I will stretch. Body weight workouts include more mobility components than usual, like shin boxes, which are amazing for your hips. You know, like the hip bridge and reach and more T-spine stuff. I might go through a dynamic warm up to try to just, you know, flush some of the waste product.
Yep.
Acupuncture, if there's any sort of niggling injury type things.
What's your experience with acupuncture?
It was when I had chronic knee pain when I played rugby. It was the one thing that solved that for me.
Wow,
I loved it.
I mean, I've been looking at it. I have a friend who has been going and getting acupuncture for digestive issues.
Yeah,
and had great success with it.
it's super interesting. And it's again, when like I realize I'm like wielding research as a shield when it comes to ice baths, and then I've given you all of these anecdotal things after that, but that's fine. I'm fine with that. I can live with that. Acupuncture though, I mean, like there is some stuff about that and pain reduction, especially with headaches. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a lot we don't know about it and about why it works. And maybe it's the placebo and oh well, but I have had very, very good luck with acupuncture personally. Anti-inflammatory diet.
Yeah.
Like I'll work on getting inflammation down. Like lots of vegetables, lots of soothing foods. And then along those same lines, I take a supplement called Onnit Shroom Tech Immune. And it's supposed to be like something that boosts your immune system if you're starting to get sick. It's got like turmeric and ginger and other
shroom. Okay. I thought it had your favorite mushrooms in it.
Well, it does have mushrooms, and so this would be another way for you to eat mushrooms. I learned that. Yeah,
I mean, if I was going to eat them, they might be on like a pizza or something.
You know, that would be delicious. Yeah,
you'd have the cheese on top, so that
give mushrooms a chance. Maybe I'm telling you, I don't know if they've got morel mushrooms in the Boston area, but I'm going to go hunting again.
I'm a very simple person, Jen. Like my eating out is going to Chipotle, and like being exotic is getting mild salsa on top of my chicken and salad and brown rice. Like that's me going, like guacamole is again, that's the next tier of craziness in my dietary lifestyle.
That is extremely wild. And okay, so maybe mushrooms are a little too complicated.
Yeah, I mean, again, maybe it's one of those things where if I see it as part of a menu option where the rest of it sounds pretty good, like I'm not going to say, hey, no mushrooms.
Yeah.
Because it's part of a dish that a professional put together to taste a certain way. I'm not going to spit in the face of that professional.
No, and I'm a bad person. So if I do find my way to perform better, Providence, I'm going to find a way to make you eat mushrooms.
Well, we'll go to Fire and Ice because there's a Fire and Ice right below, right next to the convention center, which is like, it's like I guess it's like a Korean barbecue where you get to get a bowl, put your meat and veggies in it. They put it on it's a hibachi. I don't know what it's called, but they throw it on a grill, they cook it up and they give it back to you and you get to eat it. And I'm positive there's mushrooms there, but I'm sure it's just like the regular, like white mushrooms you'd see it. A grocery store.
Just some straight up button mushrooms.
Yeah. And I worked in the home, I worked in the produce department growing up. You know, I messed around with a lot of mushrooms, the portobellas. And the white ones, I forget what the white ones are called, but anyways, man, this is a weird ass podcast. Holy crap. All right. Let's,
covering a lot of ground.
We're covering a lot of ground. And I think, again, I apologize, I have a little bit of an ADD today.
I'm right there with you. Like I've been up way too late a number of nights.
Well, we got a couple more things to cover, and then I'm going to let you get back to the grind. One thing I want to talk about, and it hasn't really been talked about a ton on this podcast, is, you know, for women out there, you know, dealing with hormonal issues that can come along, and you know, training while on birth control.
Do you follow Greg Knuckles' strength theory blog?
I do not.
This dude can take deep dives, and I appreciate that about him. He will look at absolutely everything that is available on a certain topic, and he just very recently covered the menstrual cycle, contraceptives, and sort of the complete guide for athletes. And it's worth Googling.
I'm on it right now.
Are you? You found it. Oh, found God, it. You're fast. Okay.
Knuckles, so as in Knuckols.
You got it. Yeah. Great. Like he really is a thorough gentleman, and he works with Juggernaut Training Systems. I think he's their editor of a lot of the stuff that comes from Jug. So he's invested in a whole bunch of strength topics, and he's a strong fellow himself. I keep calling him a fellow. I'm not really sure why I keep doing that. Anyway,
dude, if you want to next
time. Yeah, he's a really nice dude too. Yeah. Anyway, the back to the contraceptives and athletic performance. It depends on the person. Isn't that always the answer with everything for fitness? But totally, it's still the answer. It does. It's got some pros, I guess, if you will, or at least one. And the reason, I guess, I'm going to use this as a confessional. So I his article really hit home for me because I was on hormonal birth control for 17 years, and which is really just a long time to be on any sort of hormonal birth control. Mm-hmm. And what I did also was skip the sugar pill week and just take it all the way through because I wasn't particularly interested in actually having a period. Mm-hmm. And you know, this was okayed by my doctor. It was like, it just like nobody saw a problem with this. And then I eventually got some sex hormone tests, and sure enough, like exactly what is reflected in Greg's post, which he says your testosterone can become low. Like your free testosterone as a woman can be like low even for a woman. Mm-hmm. And that's where mine's very low, and like my bad estrogens are pretty high. Like, so this was a price I paid for the choice I made. And like, I had gotten off of this a couple summers ago, and my levels really still haven't changed all that much. So that may be TMI, but I think it's important. It's really important for women on hormonal birth control to know like mm-hmm. that's a risk you're running. And I don't feel bad or weird, or like I don't have any symptoms from that. But I will say, like, I mean, like, I'm like just the tiniest smidgen into the normal range of testosterone. And sometimes that really pisses me off because I think I would be a lot, you know, like leaner and probably more muscular if I had just a little bit more testosterone. I mean, women's levels are already so much less than men's, but I've now handicapped myself further.
Yeah. And you mentioned that range, like, the ranges that doctors use are just gigantic.
So oh, it is.
Even if you're in that like low range, like that is in a big ass pool.
It is. And like some of it is that we don't know, we don't have a ton of data probably on what healthy and normal actually is. So this all, you know, it needs to be taken with a grain of salt, like what's normal for you. So anyway, I think I said I was going to list the pros first, but that was the con. The pro and the reason that I made this okay in my mind, even though like I, you know, like had clean products outside of that, and you know, ate well, I made this okay. Like I sort of made my peace with it because we've seen like, decreased incident of ACL injury. Mm-hmm. When you do take hormonal birth control, because it sort of flattens out your hormonal fluctuations. And I will say that playing, you know, 13 years of a contact sport, very nearly year round at every level, and I never had any of the ligament tears that many, many, many of my teammates had. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are pros and cons.
Yeah, I mean, that's, damn, like again, ACLs and just young female athletes too. Oh, it's just another kind of can of worms to open up. Mm-hmm.
Strengthen those glutes though, right?
Yeah, for real. Like, I mean, this is again just kind of talk about our staff meeting stuff. Like, we just had a staff meeting today and we spent 45 minutes talking about that and looking at what protocols mm-hmm. people are using in the clinical setting that are from 2000. And they're still using the same stuff.
Is that like the Stanford warm up or whatever it is?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, and like the jumping mechanism, like mechanics of both the takeoff and the landing. Mm. I mean, like there are things you can do, right, to decrease the incidence of ACL injuries. But that's you're right when you say like that's forever. That's 15 years ago. Like, let's find out some more.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you got to make sure you're following, you know, all those great people out there that are have great stuff when it comes to knee prehab and rehab stuff.
Who do you recommend for those kinds of things?
I mean, the great thing about this stuff is that if you're in like the kind of circle that we're mm-hmm. in now, right. like everyone is using kind of the same material. So if you want to go, I mean, you can go to Eric Cressy's website and you can see great articles about knee prehab and rehab. Same thing with Tony or Mike Boyle. And across the board, Mike Robertson did a lot of stuff on knees and,
yep.
I mean,
bulletproof knees, right?
Yeah. And it's really, again, of a case of like, we know a lot now, and it's just mm-hmm. the case of being in the clinical setting, when it comes to like physical therapists who are getting these kids post-surgery, still using material that is 15 years old mm-hmm. when it comes to like, what is that pass test that they're going to need to, what's that test they're going to need to pass to make sure they can get back to their sport. I'm like, there is like their pass test should be like their ability to actually play their sport. That's the pass test.
Right. And it seems like there's a lot of rushing kids back into sports, or not even kids, like adults too. Like I've seen some stuff about ACL recovery that mm-hmm. we're all basically getting back into it way too fast.
Yeah. I mean,
I know it depends on the graft you get, like with the cadaver, you're going to get back and, you know, the people are back in 3 to 4 to 5 months. And whereas hamstrings or patellar grafts are going to be, you know, much longer, but it's still not, we're still back too soon, even if we're waiting like 9 months.
Yeah. It's a crazy industry just because more and more, there's more and more young female athletes that are getting into sports that are, you know, already in a weakened state, because you have, you know, women that are girls that are 12, 13, 11 that are playing, you know, things like hockey and soccer, where they're mm-hmm. at real high risk and they're not doing any kind of strength and conditioning program to get them ready. They're just obviously at a much higher risk for this stuff than, you know, boys at their age or even teenagers and stuff like that.
Yeah. And then to add insult to literal injury, you've got sports specialization.
Yep. I know. Oh man. Yeah. It's kind of an everyday thing at MBSC is just getting, you know, we get kids that come in that have never done any strength and conditioning stuff. They're just coming off push rehab. And then that's when they start doing their strength and conditioning program.
Yep.
Once they tore the ACL or the MCL, they get their surgery. Like, oh yeah, maybe I should have my kids start going to a strength and conditioning program. If you have kids and they're, you know, 11 yep. or older, get them into a good program where they're going to be at least getting, I mean, it's hard to mess up just getting stronger. They got to just right. be doing something to get stronger.
Well, can I just say that you guys are doing really amazing things, because the last time I was in Boston, I went and worked out with Ben Bruno when he was still working with you guys.
Oh yeah.
And I think I got my butt kicked by some kids. So that was nice.
Honestly, like what I do now, like my the only group that I train are middle school athletes. So it is just a blast to see these kids that are like from 10 to 14 years old that are just kicking ass, getting stronger. And more than anything, they just look athletic. Like they can go yep. through, like reach a single leg deadlifts. They can go through all the plyometric stuff and they look like athletes. And the best thing, like with all this stuff, is that they're able to decelerate. They can slow themselves down, so when they do need to decelerate, that knee doesn't give.
And that's when so many of the injuries happen, is exactly. on the landing and the deceleration.
Man, again, off topic, but
that's not really off topic. I feel like that's totally on topic. This is good stuff.
It's totally on topic, but it's like one of those things where I feel like we're just like sitting down for lunch and talking about training and stuff, which is cool. We'll finish off with, let's see. I mean, we got a bunch of stuff to go over. I mean, let's take a second before we do wrap it up. One thing that I need to do, because this is one of the things that I started a couple months ago, is talking about the people that are supporting the show through Patreon at patreon.com/thefitcast. We have 129 people that are now supporting the show, and I just want to take a second to thank a couple people that are supporting the show, like Julie Soar. Again, I might butcher some names, but I apologize, who's supporting at $2 per episode. Kate Borum, who's also at $2 per episode. We got some people that are super generous. I'm always going to give them a shout out. Tom Venuto, who's really been a huge supporter of the show. So thank you, Tom. And then also Danny Foley, who is at $5 per episode. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show and making sure that new episodes are coming out every single week. And I have not missed a week since you guys have really stepped up to support the show. So I hope if you do get something out of it. And I have someone that like emailed me and said, you know what, I feel like I get like two of the episodes per month are for me. So they donate $1 per episode, but they cap it at $2 per month. And if it goes, you know, they feel like they get a little extra, they bump it up for that month, or you can always bump it back down. It's super easy through patreon.com/thefitcast to get started at just $1 per episode to make sure that you get these delivered to your, you know, favorite podcasting app or device every single week. And Patreon supporters also get episodes 1 week early. So you make sure that you get stuff even earlier than everyone else, which is really cool as a thank you to you.
I'm going to do that as soon as we hang up.
Thank you. Yeah, sorry. That's a lot to get through. But we have like roughly 15, 20,000 listeners. We have 130 people that are really stepping up to support the show. So I like to always at least give a couple of them a shout out to say thank you. And we have some people that are doing through PayPal as well. Also,
okay, so where do I go to do this? I'm doing it when we hang up.
We're going to go to patreon.com slash the fitcast.
All right, happening.
And it's super easy. Like you can use PayPal, you can use credit card, and super, super easy to do. And like I said, for people out there, if you need to cap it, if you can only do like $3 per month, just say, hey, you know what? If Kevin puts out five episodes per month, which I won't do. I'll only always cap it at four. Just say, you know, I only want to pay for three, or I will only want to support three out of the four, because I only feel like I get, you know, three out of the four guests per month are speaking to me personally, which is cool. Mm-hmm. I understand that.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you so much for everyone out there. All right, so let's wrap it up and start talking about, you know, what people can, and we mentioned it before, but what people can expect from Lift Weights Faster too, because, you know, again, I'm sure a lot of people who listened last time that you're on picked it up to make sure that they had some variety in their training, to make sure that, again, like that thing, like, man, I'm looking at that bike. Do I want to really get on that bike for some intervals today? Like, or do I just want to go to Chipotle?
I mean, sometimes you want to get on the bike, and then sometimes you want to swing a kettlebell.
So what are they going to do? Like, what are they going to expect, or what should they expect when they open up that book?
180 workouts that have never been published anywhere else. They are quick, they're to the point, they're a blast, and they get the job done. They can be used as finishers to more traditional strength sessions, mm-hmm. or they can be combined on their own to be a standalone program. And I've got workout calendars for either of those options. The exercise library, that's a huge selling point.
Totally.
Like people have come to me and said, like, even if I didn't have the workouts, like having 268 exercise with written detailed descriptions and photo demonstrations of every single move included in any of the workouts is enough even on its own. And I've got an ice climber, like a world champion ice climber friend, who's like, I use your body weight stuff to train for ice climbing. 30 detailed instructional videos and 5 challenge workouts, so that you can like match your time up against others if you are a competitive type. And then all of the workouts are organized by 6 categories of equipment. So it's organized by body weight, minimal equipment like Valslides and resistance bands,
cool.
dumbbells, kettlebells, barbell, and then full gym, which means everything is game. It's also organized by your experience level. Every single workout is labeled as beginner, intermediate, or advanced. Mm-hmm. And then every single workout is labeled by the amount of time you have. So they're categorized by under 10-minute workouts, under 20-minute workouts, and under 30-minute workouts, depending on how fast you move, of course.
Oh, kick-ass. So like this might be something that's even really cool for people that, you know, do a lot of traveling for business and stuff like that and are really stuck with that, you know, whatever is in the hotel, you know?
It's perfect for travel. Like that's really convenient. Like I use it myself when I'm not like, when I don't want to come up with a brand new workout, I have it saved in iBooks on my phone. I open it up in the hotel gym and I pick a couple out.
Oh, that's actually a really good idea. Damn, I got to use that more. Keep like eBooks and stuff on your phone and PDFs.
Yes. It's super easy.
So, I'm going to ask people, it would be like really cool of you to, again, help support the show. If you, click through that little, I'm going to be straightforward. It's an affiliate mm-hmm. link that's going to be in the show notes at thefitcast.com for this episode. And if you click through that, the Fitcast gets a little percentage of the sales, but, for people that are going to check it out, what's the price? And, you know, if they're like, I hate Kevin Larrabee, that guy is, I mean, I like his podcast, but the guy is kind of like, he always talks about Tokyo Drift, not very cool. So I don't want to go to his, you know, website. So where can people check it out?
They can go to liftweightsfaster.com.
Easy.
That's if they hate you, but really they shouldn't hate you. They're listening to this podcast. I would hope they like you.
I got to feed my dog, guys. Like, he gets the good dog food. I don't give him like the Alpo, if you know what I mean.
No, we feed our dogs raw. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you use?
It's a raw, like bones and organs and meat mix from a local pet food store called Woody's.
Oh, no way.
Mm-hmm. But they're little dogs, so it's not like, it doesn't cost an arm and a leg the way it does if you've got big dogs.
Yeah, you got like a 60-pound, 65-pound black lab.
Yeah, I mean, they're members of the family, but it's still like such a pretty penny.
Yeah, I mean, there's members of my family that I wouldn't necessarily get them like a $50 gift card for Christmas, but I might get them like a $20 gift card for like Amazon.com. Like, that's one of those things you don't even like think about. I'm just gonna go to Amazon. I'm not even gonna like get them a favorite restaurant gift card or something like that. But
man. I like that we're ending off topic. I think that is appropriate.
Sure. Thank you. I appreciate, you know, thank you for making me feel better today. So that's gonna be it, Jen.
Okay.
But I also want to let people know that they can also, I mean, if This is the internet today. People can check you out on Twitter at Jen Sinkler. And also, I know you're throwing stuff up on Facebook as well, if they just want to make sure that they're up to date with whatever you're doing down the road.
Yeah, my Facebook page is called Thrive as the Fittest.
Perfect. And are you still selling t-shirts?
I am. And I was, you reminded me. I just came, right before we got on the phone, my t-shirt distributor just emailed me that all of the new stock of all of the new styles that I just designed in the last few weeks are ready to go. So awesome. I'm going to send you one. It's at jensinkler.com/shop.
Okay. And I just want to let people know, like, Jen gets the good fabric, like the cotton or the 50-50, like this is the good, comfortable stuff that you're going to want to like always wear. Like I've worn the crap out of that shirt.
Good, because I'm about to send you a new one.
Good deal.
And you're going to like it even more, I think.
Awesome. Well, everyone, make sure you're going to jensinkler.com. You can check out Lift Weights Faster. And again, if you want to help support the show, you can go to thefitcast.com. You can click on the show notes for episode number 328, and you can click through the link on there to have a small percentage go towards the FitCast, and also patreon.com/thefitcast. If you want to go through there, you can subscribe to the show through iTunes. You can search for it on there. If you enjoy it, please submit a review. That would be outstanding. And you can follow it on Twitter at FitCast, and I am at Kevin Larrabee. All that stuff will be in the show notes as well. And Jen, I want to thank you for first putting up with my cloudy headedness and my off-topic ADD.
Oh, I thought you were great. Please.
I don't know. I'm going to give myself like a C+, like a B-, which is cool. I can do that. I can deal with that.
I'll give you an A, though.
That's going to do it for this week's episode. Catch us next week where Kevin Carr, who got bumped,
sorry,
is going to be back on the show. So hope you enjoy that as well. Until next time, take care and have a great rest of the week.
Bye. Thank you for having me. Is done. It's our time for having fun. I'm gonna party hard until the sun comes up. The music feels so good.